Baby, you are gonna go broke showing turkeys like these.
Now we're talking turkey.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
It's turkey time. Gobble, gobble.
It's a bad time, this time of year.
How many times is he gonna tell this story?
Don't let him tell it. I love fairy tales.
This ain't no fairy tale, little girl. If you don't take it seriously, you're a fool.
Valentine's dance in 20 years has to be something special.
In this town on Valentine's Day, everybody loses their heart.
Roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
It can't be happening.
What's going on over in Valentine Bluffs? It looks like Harry Wharton's back in town.
It happened once. It happened twice. Cancel the dance or it'll happen thrice.
In the town of Valentine Bluffs, there are many ways to die. Take your pick. My Bloody Valentine.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Let's Talk Turkeys. I'm your host, Movie Miss, and we are jumping into part two to wrap up our discussion on My Bloody Valentine, 1981. When we last left off, we were at the crime scene, the site of Mabel's murder at the laundromat. The chief was in the process of covering up Mabel's murder. So that nobody would be the wiser of what's going on here in town. So we're still in that scene. We're gonna cut right back to the action, to the conversation between the mayor and the chief. So the mayor now says they're gonna finally close the beaches. I mean, cancel the dance. He tells the police chief to take down, and why is this the chief's job? Take down all the Valentine's Day decorations in town. And lock up the hall because we're not going to have the dance. Why is taking down all the decorations suddenly the police's job? Okay.
Logical explanation here. Because you're dealing with something that's causing somebody to come out and kill people. So you're not going to put a regular citizen in charge of taking down these decorations at the risk of their own life. That's the cop's job.
Whose life is in jeopardy, really? If you're taking down the decorations, that's what Harry wants. If it is Harry and... that's what he wants, right? Cancel the dance. He'd be happy you're taking him down.
Logically, yes. But like on the off chance, I'm thinking police procedure is probably you don't want to put anyone in the vicinity of what could be any kind of harm, physical harm.
All right. Fair.
It's possible. It's a stretch, but it's possible.
So the other thing that popped into my head right here is the mayor's like, well, clearly we have to lock up the hall and cancel the dance. Like, we can't have the dance, obviously. There's like fucking 30 people in this town. What's to stop them from just going to somebody's house and having a fucking house party? It's the same fucking thing. Like, what?
It is, but I mean, you know, it's not their responsibility at that point. It's like, hey, we did our job. We canceled the dance. Anything that happens after that point, it's like, hey, that's your fucking problem. You know, you want to go have a house party and get killed by a serial killer. That's on you, dude. I did my job.
So now half a dozen or so of the kids, and I'm using that term again so loosely, they gather at the Union Hall with handfuls of more decorations. The chief tells them, in light of Mabel's death, the mayor has decided to cancel the dance. He adds, and no parties either. Like he can control that, like you just said. So then we see TJ all clean and fresh, no doubt from the shower he's had. They have a shower in the mines. It's so bizarre. He's punching out on the time clock as everybody else is coming up from filthy from the mines in the cars, right? My question was, not even a question, my problem was, we find out later that TJ's parents owned the mine or something, his family, it's the family's mine.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out who, they never mentioned his parents, like showed them, right?
Yeah, but he makes a reference to like, it's his mine, he has the keys and it's his family or something. But so my question is he just being a piece of shit because it's his family's mine? Why are you punching out after your shift ends? You come up filthy. Then you have to go shower, change into your clean clothes, and go home. He's waiting to punch out until after he's showered. I feel like when the work is done, they would make you punch out. Like when you come up from the mines, you punch out, then you go take your shower, take your time, clean up. That's on you.
Yeah, like they're not going to pay you to shower and shave. So
yeah, not... so I was like, what? What a piece of shit waiting to punch out until he's ready to like tip the fuck out the door all fresh and clean.
Well, he's probably also doing that to kind of buy time because he wants to, like, you know, show off to Axel. I'll be like, hey, look, I'm pristine. I'm clean. I'm going to punch out, hop in the car, and I'm going to go fuck your girl.
Well, it's, yeah, obviously they do that for our benefit because that way Axel can have a confrontation with him and start yelling at him. They have a score to settle. And TJ's just like, whatever, bro. And he runs off and leaves. But at the last second, we quietly hear TJ as he's leaving the frame under breath saying, you bet we do. So that's red herring bullshit. Because there's no way TJ, he's not fighting Axel. He's going to let Sarah choose.
We don't know that yet. TJ's come off like an asshole. So for all we know.
We now see TJ has rushed off because he wanted to pick up Sarah at work when she gets off of her shift. Wants to beat Axel there, basically. He rushes her out the door into his car. The whole time she's going, Axel, I don't want to go. Or TJ, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to get in your car. She's smiling the whole time. She's saying no. So mixed signals, bitch. Pushes her in the car and she's laughing and smiling, but saying, no, I don't want to go. But gets in the car. This bitch.
I don't understand why they are fighting over her. I'm sorry. I don't see it. Yeah, she's no Patty. She's definitely no Patty.
No, this chick playing Sarah actually reminded me of the blonde chick from Phantasm that is the tall man turns into to dupe the guys into sex in the cemetery. And I was like, ooh, no, she's not cute. Anyway, they drive off to a private area at the water's edge, a perfect place for Sarah to get axe murdered and left for dead with nobody but the seagulls as witnesses. But yet she goes with him.
I mean, TJ doesn't come off like the kind of ex-boyfriend that's going to kill the girlfriend because she turned him down.
They're building him up to be the red herring, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like no one's picked up on that in character. No one has picked up on that whole thing.
Okay, fair. So mushy soft music plays and they take a walk. Sarah asks TJ why he never wrote to her when he was away. He says he's made mistakes. And then he tells her he loves her and wants another chance. Sarah then calls him Jesse and says she doesn't know how she feels. He says he's sorry. And they tear up and kiss. You heard it too, right? When he says sorry, he's all, I'm sorry.
I've heard, well, it was during the junkyard. It was somewhere, I forget who it was, but it was somewhere in there is where I heard a boot.
Yeah. So we cut to the bar. The gang's all there because there's nothing else to fucking do in this town on a Friday night. There's more beer on the table. That's 11. Drink.
Moosehead. I feel like this movie was very heavily produced by Moosehead.
Well, they sponsored, I'm sure, gave them money to make this movie. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
So TJ comes in. Axel asks if he's seen Sarah. And TJ winks and says, it ain't my turn to watch after her. All smug. I was like, you go, TJ.
See, that's funny because you like that line. I hated that line. That line literally made me think like, okay, these guys are very irresponsible. And if they keep doing this and hanging out at the bar and no one is watching Sarah, then the fucking state is going to come in and take Sarah away from them.
Who's watching Sarah? So outside now, it is pitch black and Sarah is walking alone, talking out loud to herself about how she's going to need to break it to Axel. So she wants to get back with TJ. She gets startled by the chief because everyone's entitled to one good scare. Did you not think that too?
Yeah, there's so many references in this movie that made me think of like other movies.
Yes. I was like, oh, that's right out of Halloween. So she gets startled by the chief who shines his big flashlight right in her fucking face. I'm like, settle down. It's just Sarah. And I like how in movies, Friday the 13th does this a lot. If somebody is standing right in front of you and shining a bright light in your face, these people act like they're completely blinded of everything that they could possibly be blinded of. Like they act like they don't see the person's body. They didn't know they were approaching them. They can't see their feet. You're not blinded by the flashlight. You just can't see the person's face if they're holding it like right in front of their face.
I mean, the only thing I can figure is if it's so bright that it just takes you a minute to kind of get your bearings, to kind of like your eyes to adjust again. But other than that, no.
So he says he's doing, he says he's doing his nightly patrol. Okay. And then he lets Sarah wander off alone when he knows damn well there's a murderer on the loose.
Thank you. I was going to literally bring up the same fucking thing. Okay, you're so goddamn worried about a fucking killer in this town that you're patrolling and you're like, why are you going to let this poor woman walk off by herself?
Yep, I was flabbergasted. So I know you don't want to cause a panic, but you could at least like escort her home or have her come with you. Like, bro.
Yeah. I mean, a decent cop would at least be like, hey, well, you know, I haven't checked over here. I'll walk with you, home, something like that. Like, how the fuck did this guy become chief of police? Like, seriously, like no one else was able to do this. We couldn't get Brody.
We cut to TJ and the bartender is handing him a beer. That's 12. Take a drink. And the bartender says he doesn't think Mabel actually died of a heart attack.
Okay.
At the table now, more beer everywhere. So 13, take a drink. One of the guys suggests, well, why don't we just have a Valentine party? Why do we need the dance? And they all get real excited. They're like, yeah. Like they don't fucking house party all the fucking time because there's nothing else to do in this town.
Exactly. That was one of the things that bothered me, was like, oh my God, let's have a party. This is going to be awesome, because it's not like we're hanging out in a bar drinking beer.
Exactly. And you know damn well, they go up to that fucking mine rec room and play pool. They go to the bar. They go to people's houses. Like, this is all there is to fucking do anyway.
Yeah, literally nothing is changing, especially the fact that it's like you could throw in there, okay, maybe the Valentine's dance would have been a little bit different because the dancing part and the music, but it's going to end up in the same way. Beer, food, and sex.
Yep. I was going to say the three F's, but beer doesn't start with an F. Beer, food, and fucking. But, you know, whatever. Two out of three.
Well, I mean, you could throw in the three F's for this movie. There's fear, food, and fucking.
That's perfect, actually. The three F's for a horror movie. That's what we want. So Hollis, young Wilford Brimley here, says they can't party because the chief has the town on lockdown. What? Is he going to come into everybody's house to make sure nobody's partying? Like, what?
I mean, yeah, it's like, unless he's fucking Santa Claus, this one lone cop is not going to be able to check every house in town.
So TJ suggests his father's mines would be a great place to party. Okay, when he said that, I immediately went, why are the mines a good place to party? Because every time so far, thus far in this movie, we have seen people in the mines choking and coughing and complaining about methane gas and how they can't breathe down there. Why is that a good place to go?
That made no sense to me. It's like, and we've done. Up until this point, we have seen three or four parts of the mine, the deep part of the mine, them coming up, and the showers. Where in there are you going to throw a fucking party?
Well, then we get mention again of what we can expect in our slam bang finale that we just know the movie is going to give us, because Hollis mentions they wouldn't even be able to smoke down there. What kind of party would that be? Because it could explode. The mine could explode. We don't want to do that. Ooh, really? All right. We're moving closer to our big finale.
careful. You've got a little sarcasm dripping from your lips there.
TJ says it's a good idea because we have everything we need to party at the mines. We have a rec room with a pool table. It'll be great. One of the idiots says, beware of Harry Warden. And Hollis tells him to shut the fuck up. Then Crazy Ralph, or the bartender, says, beware what you make fun of, you little asshole. He tells them, forget about having a party or you'll be sorry. Red herring, big one.
big redhead. And then apparently he's one of the few non-Canadian actors because I heard sorry and not sorry.
Right? TJ says to the bartender, well, we're having a party because piss on the legend of Harry Warden. Piss on the Phillies. Piss on the Phillies. I was hearing Gary Busey. Piss on the legend of Harry Warden. Okay, it's not a legend. Oh. It fucking happened, but okay. He adds to tell the bartender, and don't you go telling nobody that we're having that party. Kind of threatens him to keep his mouth shut. But what bothered me, my grammar police radar started going off. Don't tell nobody. Don't you mean don't tell anybody? Don't tell somebody? I can don't tell nobody. That's easy.
Okay. I'm more than willing to deal with your grammar police bullshit when it's written and it's on Facebook or something like that. But when it's something that people are talking about, when it's like verbally spoken, people have different ways of talking and doing things.
Yes, and this
like
is
that.
The slackjaw, uneducated hillbilly way to say it. I did not approve.
No, that's not the whole slackjaw hillbilly thing. It's like sometimes people just like to talk lazy because they like lazy talk.
Yes. They talk lazy. Yeah, I don't care for that. I care. I don't care for that. That's why I'm making a point of it.
Okay. You high horse.
It's my show. I can say what I don't like. Just like you can counterpoint that you don't think I should point it out.
I'm just saying it's a little judgmental, you know.
But bro, have we met? Of course.
Okay, that's judgmental. Fair. That's fair. I forgot that, you know, you're basically Judge Judy.
Yes.
Basically Judge Judy.
Without the gavel and the snazzy hairdo. Yes.
And the millions of wrinkles.
I thought you were going to say without the millions of dollars. Yeah, also true. So the bartender, clearly the red herring here, like I said, warns them. They all cheer with their beers. They're like, cheers. Yeah, we're going to party. So we get to see all the moose heads. That's 14. Take a drink. Cut to later that night, a beer guzzling bartender with his moose head. That's 15. Take a drink. Uses a pickaxe to break the lock on a door of a building somewhere at the mines. We then see police chief arriving at the mines outside where the big chain link gate is to make sure the gate is locked up nice and tight. And then he gets in his car and leaves.
Yeah, like don't actually check the mines. It's like no one could have like fucking climbed over the fence or anything. Lock's right. Fine, so obviously everything's cool.
So the bartender talks to himself out loud for our benefit. This will scare the kids and teach them a lesson. And he rigs up this miner outfit with a pickaxe, which seems a bit dangerous, but I guess he's drunk, so it's okay, out of a door.
And more importantly, he done told nobody.
He tests it out several times and laughs like it is the funniest fucking prank he's going to pull. On the last one, there's a hesitation for a minute. He hears some noises and then he goes back to open the door. We get a shot of an actual miner. Somebody's in the outfit. This is the one special effect that didn't work for me. And you'll have to tell me if you got the same shots that I got on my disc here, my special edition. So the pickaxe goes into Crazy Ralph's face from under the chin and comes up and out his fucking left eyeball. It is so awesome and it's quick. But then we get lingering another shot or two and we can really see the effect up close. Did you get all that or did you just get the one shot of it going in?
I just got the one quick shot. You didn't really see any gore. In fact, from what I saw, I don't even see it entering. I could have swore it was like you saw it go up, cut to like a behind shot, and then like he's down. So I don't even recall seeing it go in.
It was too well lit, the scene, because you can see the prosthetic, the line of where the latex is all on the face, and that takes away from the effectiveness, and that's probably why they didn't leave it in from the director's point, but from the MPAA, they were like, oh, that's too much, because his eyeball's fucking popping out, but from the director's point, I could see why he'd be like, oh, that doesn't look great, because you can see the clear line of the makeup.
Yeah, that would kind of take it out, especially because, like I say, you could just edit it, cut to like a behind shot, and you still have the same effect.
Yeah.
So, but the MPAA thing is like, oh my God, it's like, it's a fucking horror movie, guys. Come on. We're supposed to have gore. What do you want?
I know. That's so frustrating. So the miner then drags the body off by the pickaxe, dragging him by his fucking head. Did you get that shot at least?
Yes, I did see that shot.
Very Friday the 13th. I loved it.
Real quick though, did it bother you at all? Because for me, it did bother me a little bit of how quickly the miner was able to pull down the prank. Like obviously the bartender set up a lot of work into like setting this prank up, and it just really quickly everything was down and the miner was there. That kind of bugged me a little bit.
I'm with you. It seemed very elaborate. And I'm like, how the fuck did he do that in 30 seconds? No way.
Yeah, it was a little, the disbelief is bringing me out of this movie.
This is where you lost it.
this is where the movie lost it for me.
So now we get the next day. We see the words Saturday, February 14th. So it's Valentine's Day, finally. All we get of the day, however, is one shot of the decorations, not all taken down, but there's some like blowing down the street, and the mayor and the chief are standing there looking real nervous. Oh shit, it's Valentine's Day. That's all we get of the daytime. Super weird.
I mean, you did everything the guy told you to do, so you shouldn't be worried.
Well, you think, yeah. So we cut to nightfall, outside shot of the mines, and then the gang all shows up at the rec room in the mine there. Pinball machine, like I said, pool table. They unpack food and Moosehead beer. 16, take a drink. They turn on music and they set, oh, this made me crazy. They set food and drinks down all over the pool table, right on the felt. I was like, no, what are you doing?
Well, it didn't look like there was any like open food. It looked like everything was still in its packaging. So
still to me, I was like, what are you doing? That's a no-no. The chief now asks another officer in his office. We have a second police officer. Oh, yay.
I was personally shocked by this, that there was another cop finally showing up in the movie. I was like, okay, apparently he's just the night guy. Like this is the only time we ever see this guy, is he shows up at night.
Yeah. He asks him, yeah, how's it going? And the officer says, oh, it's been quiet all night. He tells the chief, but you did get a Valentine delivery. And we see a shrink wrapped candy box. So, of course, we get creepy music. The chief slowly opens it. And you're like, what the fuck? Because we've been conditioned to know that this is going to be bad news. False alarm. He smiles and chuckles when he sees that it's actually just candy from Mabel. Aw.
That scene, actually, I thought they did a good job on, like you didn't really touch on the fact that maybe there was a connection between him and Mabel that much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The fact that the death affected him, I liked that.
So back at Party Central, Hollis comes busting into the room out of the kitchen area shouting, anybody want a beer? Holding some beers. So drink, that's 17. And this grossed me out so bad I had to pause it. He comes busting in the room, shouting, holding the beer. The girlfriend, Patty, finds him so fucking irresistible. It must be the walrus mustache makes him such a fucking chick magnet. I don't know. She jumps right on him in the middle of the room and they start making out right there in the middle of the fucking room. It's so gross. I'm like, get a room, you guys.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, like, you know, you're two young people. You're two middle-aged people in love. I mean, you know, go for it. Have some fun.
So TJ finally shows up now and mentions that there's a red Volkswagen out front. You better move it so the chief doesn't see it. I assume it belonged to the bartender because nobody steps up and says, hey, that's mine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was my other note, was like, I find it hard to believe that everybody in this town doesn't know what everybody else drives. So how does anybody not know that that's the bartender's car?
That one kind of makes sense because it doesn't seem like they pay too much attention to the bartender. I mean, he's basically just there to serve them drinks and stuff. So I could see that. But still, like, yeah, like you think someone would have pointed out, like, hey, none of us drive. Like everyone there knows what they drive. So they would know that it's not any of those cars.
So we see a couple shooting pool. Then we see Axel, Sarah, and Patty at a table drinking beer. Moosehead. That's 18. Take a drink. And we get to see Patty's dress that she hyped up earlier.
I was just about to bring that up. So yes, we finally get to see this glorious dress that is like wah-wah.
Oh, yeah, I got a wah-wah out of you.
You got a wah-wah. I was so pumped for this dress because I was like, oh, okay, this sounds like it's going to be really cute, kind of sexy. Let's see what you got, Patty.
See what you got.
Yeah. Come on. Let's see them patty cakes, baby. Let's see them patty cakes.
It was a regular red, just run-of-the-mill dress, not even a party dress, no sparkles, nothing, with a little V-neck, no cleavage showing.
There was a slit up the side I saw a couple times, but it wasn't what she said it was.
A little bit of a letdown is what that was.
It was. I mean, the way she hyped it up, I was expecting this slut to have a slit.
She did hype it, and I was like, ooh, bummer. So we see a couple now leaving the party out the front door. Then two guys have a brief, bizarre interaction about one looking good, and the guy slaps him on the face. You're looking good, pal. And he wants to go get the chief off his back so he can get out of this town. I don't know what any of that meant. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, you got me on that one. That makes no sense whatsoever. Like, what the hell?
Yes, and then he goes, well, I got the munchies, and he leaves to go to the kitchen to get some food. It was just a bizarre. So people just came out of that kitchen, stuffing their faces. That one bitch is shoving a whole hot dog into her fucking mouth or something as she's leaving the kitchen.
Well, it's because she's practicing for later.
Well, when this guy walks in the kitchen, there's no lights on. So I'm like, is nobody turning on lights when they're in the kitchen? Somebody just was in there.
But I can see a logical explanation. Every time I leave the kitchen, I turn off, you know, the light. So maybe it's like that. You're trying to preserve power. So you're going to turn off the light as you leave the kitchen.
Okay, fine.
It's a stretch. It's a stretch.
So he goes in and we see that there is a pot of boiling water on the stove with hot dogs in it. Totally buy that because I've been known to do that too. That works.
It's a good way to cook a hot dog. But I want to point out that those are some nasty ass looking hot dogs in that pot.
Well, they're the cheap version, you know, in this town. They don't have like a fucking Walmart with stock to the hilt. It's a little town store with like one choice of hot dogs, probably.
Yeah, but like I hate it when hot dogs look gray.
So his head is grabbed from behind and a miner, we can see him, the miner, dunks his head into the pot until he drowns or is burned or both.
I'm going off of drowning, and that's only because of a reveal that happens later. But at first glance, I'm thinking Halloween 2, like, yeah, you're boiling, but the fucking water's not hot enough to do shit.
No, the water isn't actually at a full boil, and he's only in there for like 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, so, I could have ridden a bull longer than the amount of time this dude's face was in the water.
The only thing I can figure is, like, maybe he got one of the hot dogs in his mouth, and it was like a bobbing for hot dog situation. He choked on the dog and then died. That's what I'm grasping at right now.
I like that theory. We'll go with that.
I literally wrote in my notes, death by hot dog. That's a new one for me. I guess he got his whiff of being an Oscar Mayer wiener.
So the chief comes out of his office now with his pipe, and he's thinking deep thoughts.
As one often does when one has a pipe.
Right. He tells the other officer he'll be back. He's going to go check out the mines. And I had to think, what, did they cut this wrong? Should this have been before the shot earlier when he went out to check the fence? Maybe.
He doesn't come off like the kind of cop that's going to double check shit throughout the night. No. So yeah, I feel like this was definitely a cut in the wrong order.
He goes outside to find a pack of wild dogs, I guess, fighting over a bloody Valentine on the ground.
Which again, tracks back to earlier when the first Valentine shows up and there's no blood. So
with his bare hands, he once again picks up the evidence card attached and reads it out loud for our benefit.
It could have been for the dogs.
It says, you didn't stop the party. And he goes, what damn party? So the other cop comes running out and he pulls his gun. He's got like his hand on his gun ready for some action. Because you know they don't see any in this damn town.
I like the fact that his hand immediately goes to his gun when he hears the word party. Like, party? Fuck them kids. I'm going to shoot them little shits.
So the chief picks up this bloody box for a closer look, but then we cut away. Which is fine, because he's just all about contaminating the evidence at this point. He doesn't care. Back at Party Central, the idiot prankster kid of the bunch snorts his moose head beer. Screwed myself up in the original recording and got the count wrong, so I'm putting this in. This is 19, take a drink. Threw a straw up one nostril, and everybody laughs at him like he is the funniest fucking thing this town has ever seen.
This was the kid that grew up wanting attention on the playground and ate fucking worms. That's what this kid was.
Axel grabs Sarah. She yells for him to let go of her. TJ chimes in and tells Sarah to speak up and tell Axel that she wants him. Sarah calls them both jerks and storms off. That's a fair response. TJ gets in Axel's face and Axel punches TJ. They tussle, but Hollis, of all people, breaks them up. I like how in movies like this, just because he's the fat guy, he's supposed to be strong enough to be able to hold these other two big muscular guys at bay.
I mean, the first two things I will say are, one, don't underestimate us fat guys. And two, if you ever watch professional wrestling, you would know that sometimes the fat guy is strong guy and will kick some ass. I don't watch professional wrestling
because I have a life.
Obviously not a very entertaining one, or you'd be watching professional wrestling. So
I'm missing out, apparently.
Oh, you are.
No, you're right. Millions of Americans can't be wrong, can they? I don't know. We got the Rock out of it, so I guess I can't knock that.
Well, I mean, if The Rock was a good actor, then I would agree with you.
Ooh, shots fired. He's crying into his $100 bills over that.
I like The Rock, but The Rock plays The Rock in every fucking movie he's in.
Again, upon hearing that, I'm sure he cried into his $100 bills. It's fine. He's fine. So Axel now, after they get broken up here with their fight, grabs a beer, takes a drink of his Moosehead beer. That's 20. Take a drink. And he storms off out the front door and wanders off.
Okay, before you go into the next thing, I do have to point out the fact there's no one left playing this game. Everyone is passed the fuck out.
So, TJ apologizes, to which Sarah says she doesn't care anymore. And leave me alone. And off she goes. Prankster guy tells everyone, oh, loosen up. Let's have some fun. Did I show you I can do it in my other nostril? And he fucking snorts the Moosehead beer up his other nostril.
That's 21.
Take a drink. How is this guy making anybody laugh?
It's pity laughter. It is pity laughter at this point.
Axel is now outside alone, taking the last few swigs of his Moosehead beer.
22.
Take a drink. Cut to a couple making out on a blanket in a room of the mine shafts. They're in the actual mine. And all the miners' outfits, this was weird to me. The clothing is all above them in the rafters, hung up by ropes and hooks, like all suspended in the air.
That was a little weird. Like, I know nothing about mines, but yeah, that kind of came off like, you can see where it's creepy. Like why they used it. Because if that's true, that is very fucking creepy.
It is. And she pulls one of the ropes because she's got to know how it works. Okay, I figure like that was for our benefit. She asks the dude, did you bring any? And he pulls a condom out of his wallet. And she goes, no, I mean beer. But right by her fucking head is some beer. So I was like, she lays back down. He goes, yeah, I'll go get some beer. And he leaves. She lays back down and there's a fucking beer right next to her head. That is a Moosehead beer.
23.
Take a drink.
But this is a Canadian movie. And the one thing I will say is that there's never enough beer when it comes to Canadians.
Why is that?
Every movie I've ever seen, TV show, anything that revolves around Canadians, there's always beer. Constantly beer. It's like beer is like the national drink.
Strange Brew, the movie. So I guess.
I mean, like, if you think about it, how many Canadian anything have you seen where they don't have a beer in it? They're not drinking a beer.
Fair point. So we cut to back at the party. Dude grabs some beers because he's got to rush back to his chicks waiting for him. He goes into the kitchen to find two girls getting hot dogs out of the pot, and they pull out what looks like a gray blob. Is that the heart? What is that?
That is the heart. That one I actually like picked up on immediately. It's like, okay, yeah, you left the heart in the water. It boiled it. That's fine. The problem, though, is that you cut a heart out of a human being, obviously in that fucking area. There is no blood on the floors. There's no blood anywhere else. There would be blood, possibly. I don't know if the blood would actually cook out of the water, or I would assume that there would still be some residue.
I'm going to say I've never tried it, so I don't know, sir. What blood cooks out in the water.
I'm just going off of like when you boil something raw, usually if there's like any residue or something like that, it kind of like cooks out of it and shit. So that's why I'm saying like the blood would probably congeal and cook as well.
Well, he is looking at these two chicks standing over at the pot with this gross thing. They don't know what it is, but yeah, it must be a heart. He opens the fridge to grab the beer. There's the Moosehead beer.
24.
Take a drink. He does not see the dead dude's body in the refrigerator, and his face is all melty.
I couldn't tell if that was melty or if it was just blood from getting hit or stabbed or something. It didn't look melty to me.
It looked white, and like pieces were like coming off of his face as if they were like sort of peeling off from the hot water. It was bizarre looking.
Okay. Yeah. It looked weird enough to me that I did not pick up on the fact that it was melty. So that does kind of, so he was probably boiled slash drowned to death then.
In 7 seconds. Yes. Back in the mines, the girl sees that all that clothing above her starts to move and sway. She hears creaking sounds and then running water coming from the shower area. She yells, "John, John, is that you?" Well, in a fucking horror movie, hello, if it was John, would he not say, "Yeah, babe, it's me"? Like, anyway.
I don't know about anybody else here, but it didn't look like there was a lot of ways to get back into that room except for the way that John left. And we didn't see John come back. So it's not John in the fucking shower, bitch.
Yep, I'm with you. She gets scared as some of that clothing starts to drop and move all around her, making her kind of freak out. She spins around, bumps into the dead bartender on a hook. Did you get a good shot of that?
I got a quick glimpse of that. That was pretty good. I did like that reveal.
Okay, so then the miner shows up now, right behind her, picks her up by her head, which I loved, walks her back, carries her over to this metal sprinkler piece protruding from the sprinkler system there, shoves her head onto it, and leaves her hanging there. I fucking love that.
I got that scene, but I think it was an edited scene because I did not see any penetration. I did not see anything go through her. It was just like, boom. And then
he puts her head on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there'll be more in a second. So then John returns with the beer.
That's 25.
He's holding Moosehead beer. Take a drink. He assumes she's in the showers because he hears them all running. He starts to unbutton his shirt like he's getting ready for the shower. Yeah, baby. He goes in and this is Sylvia, this cute blonde he was with. I was like, what's her name? He says, "Sylvia, is that you?" Now he finds her face, her body, and her face has water shooting out the mouth hole where the sprinkler penetrated through the back of her head. Did you get that in your cut?
Nope, that's only in the director's cut.
It's fucking rad. It's so cool.
That was one of the things that pissed me off, was like there was so many cool things I wanted to see and I didn't get to see it.
Yep, it's in that version. It's really cool.
What's up, freaking weirdos? My name is Kevin, and I'm the host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. This is a conversational podcast based on guest experiences and encounters with paranormal, cryptids, aliens, spirituality, mental health, as well as conspiracies. If these topics interest you, you can find me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you have an encounter or an experience of something that you can't quite explain, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com, where_theweirdonesare on Instagram, and where_theweirdonesare on Facebook. I hope to hear from you, my friends. Question everything and stay weird.
Nothing over $3 right now on the website trulyuniquejewelry.com. The website is now clearing out all of their inventory to make room for the new Nothing Over $3. Everything from necklaces, rosaries, rings, earrings, bracelets, extra extender chains, earring backs, every little thing you would need for your jewelry box, including gift boxes, all on clearance prices. So hop on over to trulyuniquejewelry.com. That's TRULYOU N-I-Q-U-E, jewelry.com. It's one flat rate for shipping, so fill that box or envelope as full as you can with everything on the website priced under $3. That's trulyuniquejewelry.com. And now, back to the show.
So then, the chief gets a radio call that he's had an important phone call just as he starts to pull up to the gates of the mine once again. So he turns around and goes back to town to get that phone call. Back at the party, three couples decide to take a quick ride down to the mine, some 2,000 feet down, they say.
And this is where I have my problem. You're partying at the mine. Fine. We understand. You have a rec room. You can hang out there. Now, two people who work in the fucking mine that have to wear safety equipment and constantly bring up methane gas are going to bring some sluts down there and no protective gear, but we're going to go down and hang out in the mine.
Yep.
You lost me, movie. You lost me.
Yep. 100%. Especially as much as Hollis likes to be smoking and drinking. You can't smoke in the mines. What are you guys going to do down there?
I honestly expected Hollis to light up a fucking cigarette while right? he was down there.
So TJ tells them, don't go down there because you're breaking the no women in the mine rule. Okay. So I had to notice at this point, I had to check out TJ's outfit. Can we talk about this for just a second?
You mean open shirt bandana?
Oh my God. So he looked fabulous, first of all. So he's wearing tight blue jeans with this huge belt buckle, long sleeve shirt, unbuttoned halfway down in the front with that tiny little bandana tied up around his neck. His chest hair is all trimmed up, or maybe he just has short chest hair. I don't know. Posing with his hands on his hips. He just looked fabulous. I was like, you are wearing redneck chic, my friend.
Fabulous, yes.
I just had to mention the outfit because I was like, wow, we really got a good 30 seconds to take him all in.
Yeah, it was because, like, I'm sure in 1981, this may have been considered a sex symbol.
Right?
Probably. So, but yeah, no, I'm sorry, but for you to say he looked fabulous, the dude doesn't have the build to pull off an open shirt. He doesn't have the chest hair to pull off the open. Like in the 80s, yeah. You better look like fucking Tom Selleck to pull off this look.
Exactly right. I could have taken Tom Selleck in this. That would have been all right.
I wouldn't have hated Tom Selleck in this. I mean, it would have made more sense of like him, you know, being the badass.
So there's six people here, grab flashlights, blankets. Hollis turns the cars on so that they'll start running and jumps in, and they head down these tracks to the mine, almost like a little roller coaster type of ride. In this scene, there's a lot of beer. So we're just going to lump it all together and say
26.
Take a drink all together. So the cars stop at some point in the mines, not sure where. Hollis decides to give them all a tour of the mine and off they go. One of the couples veers off on their own to get freaky deaky, and they're like, we'll be back in 10 minutes. Talk about a quickie.
I was gonna say, it was like 10 minutes. What is it gonna do with the rest of the 9 minutes and 59 seconds?
And here I'm thinking, wait, only 10 minutes? Damn, can't even get foreplay done in 10 minutes. So we cut to the party where some chicks come running out of the kitchen screaming because they finally found the dead guy in the fridge.
It only took forever.
So confirms the dead guy in the kitchen is Dave. Who knew? Not us.
Yeah. I mean, like, it would be nice if this movie would let us in on some of these people that are dying.
So we would care. Yeah.
Exactly.
Then another guy comes in from outside and confirms Sylvia is dead. He found her in the shower with the water squirting out of her mouth. Axel screams, it's Harry Warden. He's here, and everybody, we gotta go. We gotta go. Harry's here. Okay. Why get everybody all panicky? But okay. They all scream, panic, and run out. TJ runs over to the payphone, and it isn't working. So he yells, that son of a bitch must have cut the phone lines. So TJ sends a couple guys to go get the chief, and he and Axel decide then they're going to go down to the mines to get Sarah. And the others, we've got to go let them know what's happening. Axel and TJ decide to go and split up to find everyone once they're in the mines. They're in blue jumpsuits with black boots and hard hats. It's like, okay, here we go.
we're going to get into the finale now. We don't know who's going to be who, who's going to be the bad guy. So Hollis, Patty, and Sarah head down a tunnel and they get scared by idiot prankster Howard. We see that the miner is now walking through the tunnel, busting lights near them. They hear it and they leave to go grab their other two friends that went off to have sex and they want to get the hell out of Dodge. I don't blame them.
That seems like a fair assessment. And I love how they keep blaming like everything they hear in there on rats. Like it's rats.
We have yet to see like, a single rat.
Yeah. I kept waiting for Rizzo to show up like any minute now.
So we cut to a car of the kids pulling up on the street, telling the chief, you need to get to the mines. There's some kids down there partying. Harry Warden has showed up and started killing people.
You undersold that very, very, I'm disappointed how much you undersold that. He did not pull up to the chief. He skidded around like it was Fast and the Fucking Furious and the road was made of ice.
That's right. The chief does say something to him like, whoa.
Yeah, like even I was like, what the fuck are you doing taking a corner like that? Like, that is ridiculous.
And you like how they jump to conclusions, too. They're like, oh, it's Harry. He's killing people. Have we confirmed that it's Harry? Have we?
Well, I mean, it is a folk legend, so.
So he says, TJ and Axel went down to find the friends. We got to get over there. So the chief speeds off, radios the mayor. Why? We need to get backup to the mine. The kids are trapped in the mines. We got to get backup. Where did he get that idea from?
That doesn't make any sense to me either, because if you're going to radio anybody, it's going to be your fucking deputy to call the other towns, go get some police help.
Right.
So who's the mayor going to call? What is he going to get?
The Ghostbusters. Back in the mines, TJ, Hollis, Howard, Patty, and Sarah. TJ finds them all first. So they're all together now. He tells them, Harry is back. So we got to get out of here. He says, I'm not joking. I'm being serious, you guys. Hollis and TJ then decide to split up to go look for the missing couple. So he assumes it's Harry. Somebody else assuming again. Split up. Why the fuck do you split up in a horror movie? Have you learned nothing?
This is an early horror movie, so they have not learned the rules yet.
Oh, good point. So they leave Howard to protect the girls. Odd that choice.
Yeah, that is the stupidest. I mean, if anything, the girls were going to protect Howard.
Hollis then finds Mike and Harriet, that's the couple, with a large screw-shaped spike thing through the both of them. Their bodies are like lying together. What the fuck was that? Because it was cool as hell.
I did not see that. When I did the research, that was a scene that I did not see. And I don't know if it was because I was having problems with the playback and the constant thing, or if that was because it was actually cut from my version. Because I was left wondering what the fuck happened to that couple.
So you didn't see anything? You didn't see him go in the room to find them or any of that?
No, that I honestly cannot, I don't know if it was because of, that's about the time I was having a lot of playback issues and commercials and shit going on.
Okay.
So it could have been that, or it could have just been, that was a scene that was cut. I thought I heard something about it getting cut, but I believe it was the actual death scene was cut, like them dying. I believe that was what I did when my research, they said they didn't want them actually showing how like them getting killed.
Okay, well, that's what I got to see, and it was really cool, the aftermath.
Well, I'm glad that you get to brag about all the cool death scenes that I didn't get to see in my version. Please continue.
So Hollis now gets confronted by the miner, who uses a nail gun, and he stands there for a full 30 seconds loading the fucking nail into the nail gun. Why did Hollis just stand there? I don't know. He gets it into his temple, and then he's standing there stunned, and he loads another 30 seconds, loads another nail, and then shoots him in the fucking forehead, and he takes off. He stumbles off with these nails in his head.
I love the fact that before any of this happened, he had to take off his hard hat and fix his glorious hair before he could shot in the head with the fucking nail gun.
Well, he was clearly moving it out of the way so that he could have a good shot at the temple, see?
Yeah, but he did it. He did it like he was in a L'Oreal commercial, okay? I mean, like, he's just like, oh, I'm so glorious.
But not once does he tend to that mustache. I was expecting him to oil it up and comb it. Not once.
he needed to do something, because that, I mean, I wanted to see how he grew it and groomed it and everything, because I want that fucking mustache. That was a glorious mustache.
It's terrible.
I loved it. I want it. I really need to have one like it.
I'll send you a novelty mustache. How about that?
But it's not the same if I don't grow it out myself.
So he shows up and dies in front of Howard, Patty, and Sarah. Hollis just falls on the ground and dies. Patty's screaming inconsolably. I'm telling you, the man had to have a 10-inch cock because she is beside herself. We should call him Hollis the Wonder Cock.
Hollis the Wonder Cock.
Makes you wonder how he got Patty. So just then, they see a miner heading toward them. Howard runs off like a little bitch, leaving the girls.
Was anyone shocked by that? I mean, I saw that coming a mile away. I was like, oh, okay, Howard's going to run off like a little bitch.
So the miner ducks into a side tunnel. Patty gets hysterical. Sarah slaps her to calm her down. I love that.
Yes, but if you notice, it didn't calm her down that much.
So Axel now comes running up, takes the girls away, leading them down a different cross section of the tunnel, hits TJ with a large piece of wood as he comes around the corner because he thought he was Harry.
either that or just he wanted to give TJ a little wood.
Duh. Yeah, obviously. The chief arrives topside, pulls out his gun, and heads to the mines. Down below, the four kids are climbing a ladder up the wall to get out of the mines. Why?
I don't know. I guess it's just because they don't really know their way around a good shaft.
Well, Patty's not a fan of this. She's continuing to freak out all the fucking way up. She won't shut the hell up. I wanted to slap Patty so hard.
I did too, but mainly in the ass.
Sarah gets right under her to help her hurry up and climb the ladder. Above them, Axel slips, grabs a rope, and accidentally releases Howard's body hanging by the neck. It falls and lands right next to the girls, where they get a good look at him, and then the rope snaps, I guess, and his body and head disconnect. He gets decapitated by the... I
don't know. It happened so fast that I didn't know what the fuck. I mean, I knew it was Howard because I saw like the quick glimpse of his head, his face.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, Howard's dead. I'm happy about that finally. But I didn't, like, the other part happened so fast, I didn't see the head disconnect. I just saw the horrible looking dummy body falling and hitting the ground.
Yep. And then you maybe didn't get to see this. It's a little dark, but we cut back to a shot of his head dangling on the rope, hanging there. Which didn't make any sense to me, because why wouldn't the head also fall off?
Yeah, the head would have fallen off too, because this moment it was disconnected, it's going to fall.
No, it's hanging on the rope. It's pretty fucking cool, actually.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing that, but at this point I was having playback issues too.
Well, then TJ yells at everybody. TJ's like, get down here, everybody. Come back down. You're trying to get out of the fucking mine. Why would you go back down? But they do.
The only reason that kind of made sense to me is because I figured logically he's thinking, okay, the body was up there, so the killer is probably still up there too.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing I can think of. But it's still, you don't know for sure. And I mean, yeah. I would assume you might be able to defend yourself.
Well, they decide to make a run for the rail cars now. And then they cross a 60-foot deep area filled with water that TJ points out. Axel is out of view. And it sounds like he gets hit or is being attacked. And they all assume he's dead and in the water because we see a light in the water go out, maybe like from his helmet. So TJ stays behind and sends the girls off down a tunnel. As they get to a different tunnel, the miner comes up from the corner, just sneaks up and puts a pickaxe right into Patty's stomach. And she falls to the ground. Ugh. Did you get to see that?
Yes, I did. And that pissed me off so bad because I liked her way more than Sarah. She should have lived.
Yep. Sarah's our final girl. Who knew? I would not have picked that.
Oh, yeah. If you're going off of looks, you wouldn't have picked it. But if you're going off of story, I guess it makes sense. But I mean, come on, people, let's go off of looks for once.
Sarah runs off and we see that the cavalry is finally arriving topside. TJ sneaks up and startles Sarah. They hug. Sarah cries and they walk off. Sarah notices blood on TJ's head and he says, oh, it's fine, I just got hit. And they run off. And you're like, what the fuck? Is TJ killing everybody? What's happening? Red herring. So they make it to the rail cars and the miner appears now with his pickaxe. So it can't be TJ. TJ gets the cars going, much like Hollis did earlier. He and Sarah jump on and start to climb Indiana Jones style, working their way up to the front of the cars as they're moving up the shaft. I got total Temple of Doom vibes here.
It wasn't as thrilling as I thought it was going to be.
No, because the miner hops on the last car and then works his way up to the front, and he and TJ start to fight. TJ's got a shovel and he's holding off, you know, the pickaxe with the shovel. Halfway up, they fall off the train. Sarah jumps off to stay there with them. The rail car keeps going. And then we get a shot of the rail car going up empty. And here comes the chief and a bunch of men down the tunnels running down. So you're like, oh, well, this is going to come to a climax fairly quickly because here comes the chief.
Well, I mean, we've been in the shaft long enough that the climax is going to be coming soon.
So Sarah is behind TJ as he and the miner are fighting. They get backed into a small room and TJ and the miner are really swinging these weapons around and fighting.
Like, I don't know about you, but this was like a weak ass fight scene. Like, it is not this made the fight scenes from Star Trek, the original series, look like the fucking Matrix. Okay. this was just terrible.
So Sarah's hiding behind TJ. And as they're fighting, the pickaxe gets stuck in a wall. So the miner pulls out a knife. He's got like this 6-inch hunting knife or something, and he's going to stab TJ, but Sarah jumps up from the side all of a sudden and pulls the mask off, and we see it's Axel. And TJ says, Axel, why? So the answer is never given to them, because we get a flashback, the audience. We see Axel, 5 years old, maybe, watching Harry Warden kill his father, who was one of the two supervisors that got killed 20 years ago. This is a lame excuse of why he's killing everybody.
I did not get it. I mean, this whole movie to me at times felt like a fucking Scooby-Doo episode. Like, and I was expecting it to be like old man Cummings, like trying to scare people away from the mine just so he can like get rich or some shit. Like Axel, oh, I watched my daddy die from the original killer. And that's going to make you go out and kill people? Really?
And why'd you wait 20 years to do it? You've lived here the whole fucking time. Yeah, it's just stupid. After the flashback, it's right back to the same scene. Axel sitting there staring at TJ. TJ grabs a rock and hits or pushes Axel back into some beams that cause a collapse onto Axel. So TJ and Sarah get out. The chief and his men run up. TJ says, he's in there, he's in there. So the chief and the mayor are talking to TJ and Sarah now. The chief says they know that it's not Harry Warden because he got a call from the hospital and Harry died 5 years ago. TJ says, we know it's Axel. And the mayor says, well, Harry killed Axel's father on Valentine's Day. If you knew that, why the fuck wasn't Axel a suspect this whole goddamn time? Please tell me you thought that too.
I did not think that, but I didn't think that because, again, it wouldn't make sense. Why would he go around killing people just because Harry killed his dad? Logical reasoning is you're going to go kill Harry.
And also, yeah, maybe Harry's death 5 years ago would trigger something in him. Then he would have done this 5 years ago. Like, there's no logical reason this guy's a killer and he waited 20 years. Makes no sense.
This whole movie just came to a screeching halt.
Yes, it was such a letdown because I, unlike you though, I was with it. I was having it. It was a fun little slasher flick. And then this ending, I was like, what? So TJ and Sarah now hug and then leave the tunnels. The men in the little cave are working to free Axel from the cave-in. One guy yells, he's alive. Sarah hears this and comes running back in. I have to see him. I have to. And TJ's like, really, bitch? She's like, I have to. So she reaches in and is trying to hold his hand. That's his one hand that you can see moving. We cut to a quick cut, and I don't know if you saw this, of Axel using that knife to saw off his arm, his own arm.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. I didn't even know the fucking arm came off. That was the problem. Was I didn't like, I saw the arm, I saw her holding it, and then I saw him running away in the mind, like screaming like a little like crazy bitch, and like, what the fuck just happened?
So it's a quick shot of him using the knife to saw his arm off. She pulls back and pulls the arm out and is holding the arm, which nobody is super shocked by that, by the way. All the onlookers, nobody's like, what the fuck? They're all just like, meh. They're all just totally not nonplussed. They're like, whatever. The bitch pulled an arm out. Okay. So we hear under the rubble, though, that he's yelling and talking and saying weird shit. We get a shot of him getting out from the back of the rubble and running up the mine. There's some back way that he was able to get out there. I don't know. But somebody yells to Axel as he's running away, "We'll be waiting for you in hell." And I'm like, what? And then Axel yells, "Harry, I'm coming. This whole fucking town is going to die. We're coming back, you bastards. Sarah, be my bloody Valentine." He yells all that in this crazy, frantic state as he's running away. Did we have to throw in that fucking "be my bloody Valentine" bullshit?
You have. I mean, the way this movie was going, you had to do it. I would have been disappointed if we didn't get it.
So he does this crazy maniacal laugh, starts running off and singing a song, and we cut to black and we get more laughter. Credits roll as the song, I think it's called "The Ballad of Harry Warden," starts to play. It's very bizarre. That's the end of the movie. The end. Roll credits. I'm so happy that this movie delivered on its promise of the explosive slam bang finish we were expecting all along.
That was like one of the worst endings I've seen to any movie, basically.
The ending is what takes it way down for me.
This movie made me want to see the remake just to see, were they able to improve on anything, because of the fact that this seemed like it was a cool concept. But at the time, they just weren't able to pull off what they wanted to do.
So I do want to mention before we wrap this up, I forgot at the top of the show to list off the main cast. I do want to throw out a few of these actors because they weren't, some of them weren't awful. TJ was, I think you said, Paul Kelman. Axel, Neil Affleck. Sarah, Lori Hallier. Hollis was Keith Knight. Howard, Alf Humphreys. Patty, Cynthia Dale. So that's who I had for main top build cast. Oh, and the chief, of course, Don Franks. So that's our main cast.
There's a couple people in here I want to kind of check out. Like I, Cynthia Dale, I'd be interested in seeing what else she did, because I actually really enjoyed her in this. Like she was pretty good.
Is there anything else that we forgot to talk about that you want to throw in before we move on?
I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to the mine shaft, because that shaft was one bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Shaft.
So let's move to three questions.
I'm fine with it. Let's do it.
All right. Question one. Have you seen the 2009 remake starring Jensen Ackles of Supernatural fame, Jamie King, and Tom Atkins as the sheriff? Thank you very much. And it was in 3D originally, which I did not see it at the theaters in 3D, but I have seen it on, you know, home streaming and whatnot. It is a turkey, 44% audience, 62 critics, though the critics liked it better than audiences, and they liked it better than the original. So have you seen it? What are your thoughts?
I haven't seen the remake. I want to, because I mean, now, like I said, I'm curious of what the hell. Did they like make a better movie now? So I'm very interested. But I always get confused with, there was a movie that David Boreanaz did that was a remake of a horror movie. I don't remember what the fuck it was, though.
It was called Valentine.
That's what it was. Okay.
And I believe Denise Richards is in it, too.
Yeah, that's the one I always got it confused with, because that's the one I watched. This was like back, like fucking God, like 20 years ago or something. I was working at a store called Shopko. And I had a little party and some friends came over and stuff. And I was trying to impress this girl that I worked with. She wanted nothing to do with me. And so we all hung out and watched this movie and stuff. And then she got bored halfway through and called another guy, came pick her up, and then she went off.
Oh my God. This took a turn. I'm so sorry.
I mean, it was like, whatever. I was like, all right, fine. Nothing's going to happen there. But we still hung out, watched the movie, and drank.
All right. So I have seen it, and I've seen it a couple times because I love me some Jensen Ackles. However, and Tom Atkins and his amazing mustache that can do tricks. We all know I love that. So the movie, a little predictable, some good scary movie slasher, you know, tropes and stuff in it that you would want. Definitely worth a watch, I will say. Definitely watch it at least once.
I will give it a shot because I'm intrigued to see, like, were they able to pull off this movie better than the original did?
All right. Question two. I want you to think back on Drive-In Dave's Valentine experiences, your dating life, ever since you've been dating. I want to know your most memorable Valentine experience, because not everybody celebrates Valentine's Day. I want to know from you, which one like really stands out to you in your memory? When somebody says, tell me a Valentine story, what do you have to draw from?
First off, I'm going to point out the fact that I fucking hate Valentine's Day. I absolutely despise it.
Okay.
And the reason I hate it is not the reason, because I know everyone's immediately going to jump on the whole, oh, it's because you're lonely and you don't have anyone. Well, obviously, one, that's bullshit. Two.
Why is anyone saying that to you? You have a girlfriend.
Well, it's because whenever you ever say you hate Valentine's Day, that is the natural assumption is because, oh, well, you're just lonely.
My husband hates Valentine's Day, but it's because it's a corporate cash grab. It's like a made up thing.
That's the second one that everyone hates. My reason for hating it is because I have experienced personally and I have seen multiple people getting in trouble for not doing something on Valentine's Day. And my issue with it is the fact that, okay, Valentine's Day is a day where you're quote unquote supposed to show your significant other all this love and affection. That's something that should be done year round, not just specifically to one fucking day.
Agreed.
That's why I hate Valentine's Day.
Do you have no positive memories or fun stories, funny things, nothing? I mean, except for that one with the bitch that left the party.
and that wasn't on Valentine's Day either. I mean, I've had like okay Valentine's days. I mean, like obviously the last like 2 years, even though we're not physically together at the moment, I've enjoyed them just because, you know, like I'll do something nice or say something nice or, you know, to the girlfriend. But those are probably the ones that stand out the most just because that's who I'm currently with. In the past, yeah, you know, you got like a fucking cake or some shit like that, went out to like a dinner. Nothing stood out though. Nothing was like, oh, this was fantastic. I can't wait to do it again.
Okay. Okay.
And for those listening that cannot see, yes, I did jazz hands as I was saying that.
So for me, I have a funny, odd thing that happened to me on a Valentine's Day 1 year. That's why it stands out to me. If somebody says, you have a Valentine's story, I'm like, I sure as fuck do. I told this story for all the listeners who have been with us since the beginning. I told this story on the 50 Shades of Grey episode in season one with Nikki Flicks.
Oh, shit just got real. Let's hear this. Hold on. Let me get my coffee and let's hear this shit. Let's go.
So yeah, I don't think you heard that episode, so you don't know the story. So let me enlighten you. And any listeners who don't know the story. Okay, we have to set this up. I don't kink shame. I don't fetish shame. To each his own. Have at it. Whatever makes you happy, God bless you.
Real quick, I just have to point out the ridiculousness of the fact that you will not kink shame anybody or fetish shame anybody, but God for fucking bid, they make a grammar mistake and you will drag their name and their life through the fucking mud. You will beat their ass like you're fucking Mike Tyson. Just pointing that out there. Okay, no, go ahead and continue now.
This was right before 50 Shades of Grey. I think it was 2015, was released on Valentine's Day in the movie theaters, or for Valentine's Day, the first movie adaptation. I had not read the books. I had no interest in reading the books. I had no interest in seeing the movie. Not for me. So I'm dating. 2015, I'm dating. Doing a lot of dating, trying to find my prince through all the frogs. So this one guy says, we'll meet at the mall. If we hit it off, like have a cup of coffee or whatever, we can go see a movie. I'll pick a movie and that can be our date. And I'm like, that's fine. So I meet this guy, we hit it off, we have a sandwich, whatever. And I'm like, he seems fine. You know, let's go to a movie. That's cool. So we go to the theater. He steps up to the box office and he's like, two for 50 Shades of Grey.
And I just was like, fuck, really? I just met you. I just met you. And you're taking me to this movie. Because what I had heard, it was, you know, racy and all that. And I'm like, on a first date? Really? You don't know me. How do you know if I'm going to like this? So we go in. The movie's awkward. It's very sexual. I don't know if you've seen 50 Shades of Grey. There's lots of moments where I'm sitting there with my hands in my lap and thinking, what the fuck? Why am I at this movie with this guy I don't know? It was awkward. And I've never had that experience. So we get out of the movie and we're walking out. He's going to walk me out to the cars. And I said, so let me ask you, why did you pick that movie for us? Without skipping a beat, he says, well, I read all the books, so I had to see it. I had to know. And I'm like, what? Okay, information I could have used earlier to make my informed decision. So I, you know, got to the car, get to his car, gave him a hug and said, thanks so much. I'll be in touch. And I never talked to him again. That was the most fucking bizarre, awkward Valentine's Day I've ever spent. You don't know me. How do you know if I'm going to like that?
Yeah. On top of the fact, like, I don't know many guys like that movie or read the books.
Right? I was like, ooh, that's sort of a red flag, honestly, to me at the time. I was like, no, 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 no.
I would be curious to, like, find out, like, why did he read the books? Like,
I didn't want to ask questions.
I'm curious. I'm honestly curious if this guy is out there, if he's listening to this, if like he's like, oh shit, I remember that date. I know who this woman is.
She's talking about me.
Contact me and let me know. Let me in on the inside of what the fuck this was all about, because I'm curious.
Yeah, it's one thing if you've been dating or whatever, but that was so bizarre to me. Okay, question three. We're gonna play a game. We've done it before.
Yep.
Marry, fuck, kill. So your choices are our blonde final girl, Sarah, Patty, the non-cleavage dress-wearing brunette, and Sylvia, the blonde that gets the sprinkler through the face, because I thought she was like the third cutest girl. So marry, fuck, kill, Sarah, Patty, Sylvia.
Okay, Sarah's dead. not even hesitating on that one.
Really? Our final girl, you're going to kill her?
Yeah, she's gone. Okay, and the logic, I'm going to explain my logic on this one. Okay.
Please do.
I'm gonna fuck Sylvia because that could be a one night stand and then move on. I'm gonna marry Patty because I figure Patty, I'm gonna continue to fuck her.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we're gonna explain this one.
Okay, fair. So for my marry, fuck, kill, I went with TJ, Axel, and Hollis, young Wilford Brimley. So I'm gonna kill Axel because he's a blonde. I don't really like blondes. And fuck him. He's nuts, obviously, right? He 127 hours himself by sawing his arm off. I want nothing to do with this fucker. So he's dead. I'm going to fuck Hollis because even though, again, this fat bastard with his fucking disgusting mustache, his gross, greasy hair that looked like he combed it with a pork chop, smoking and drinking party guy, I'm still going to fuck him because he must have a 10-inch cock, like I said, because he landed Patty. He must be a great lay. What am I missing there?
I don't know. I'm honestly just blown away by the fact that I did not know you were a size queen. But okay. All right. Now I know.
So then I'm marrying TJ because he's got strength, survival skills. He's the tall, dark, brooding type. He knows how to wear the hell out of a bandana. He could give me tips, fashion tips. He's just the full package.
No, and he seemed like a decent guy. Like if he's ever going to make a mistake, he'll be the first one to say he's sorry.
All right. That is going to wrap up our discussion for Valentine's on My Bloody Valentine 1981. If you're interested in checking it out, it is, at the time of this recording, available free on Pluto TV or pay streaming on Amazon.
I do want to take a time to give a shout out to our sponsor, which is ironic that we spent the entire movie talking about Moosehead beer. And today's sponsor is Pig Ass Beer. Pig Ass Beer. When you don't have any other choice and you don't care if the beer tastes like pig ass, please choose Pig Ass Beer.
Pig ass beer.
We're not getting the greatest of sponsors, but hey, at least we're getting somebody.
All right. I want to thank you for joining me today. So hopefully this didn't bring up too many traumatic Valentine thoughts for you.
Oh yeah. I'm going to go Axel here later on today.
People need to run and hide. Well, you are in a small town, so, you know,
it's happen. Not as small as you think it is.
Did they put up decorations and celebrate for Valentine's Day?
No. Well, it depends. I mean, like, I guess like when the hookers wear red, does that count as decorations?
I have to just side note this. Have you ever been to somewhere that celebrates and goes all out for Valentine's? I mean, St. Patrick's Day, I get a little bit like bars and shit, but Valentine's Day?
I've never. I mean, to be honest, like the only ones we get a little bit here are sometimes, I mean, we used to do Christmas, but not as much. It's not as decorative as it used to be. Halloween a little bit. And then, like you said, St. Patty's Day with the bar area. The rest of it, no one gives a shit.
That's what I thought. This movie just made all that up for their story.
It really did. And I'm disappointed because now I'm just like, oh, come on. I want to go to a town that celebrates Valentine's Day like that. I want fucking hearts everywhere.
You really don't, though. You really don't.
No, I don't. Please don't ever do that.
All right. We want to thank you all for listening. And please don't forget, this episode is in the main feed. We also have a Patreon. We are at patreon.com/letstalkturkeys. And until next time, goodbye.
Henninger, I'll be waiting in hell for you.
Harry, I'm coming. This whole fucking town is going to die. We're coming back, you bastards.
Sarah, be my bloody Valentine. Daddy gone away. Harry Warden made you pay.
Hey, listeners. Drive-In Dave here saying we know you have a lot of options when it comes to podcasts. So we want to thank you so much for listening to ours. Please be sure to follow us on all your social media platforms. Join us in the Bad Movie Conversation. We're on Facebook with a Let's Talk Turkeys page, as well as a discussion group where you can chat with other people who also love bad movies. We're also on Instagram at Let's Talk Turkeys, all one word. Plus, we're on Twitter with the handle at Gobble Podcast. That's GOBBLEPODCAST. And of course, you can always email us direct at letstalkturkeys, all one word, @yahoo.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.